Home, everyone. Man, isn't it great to be back? Seems like we just left this place and we're right back again. So I'm excited to be here tonight and to dive into His Word. I did a bunch of dissecting on chapter 45. We're going to go back to that. I know we had it last week and we got the 13 verses of it. But something that was said that was very important about looking into His Word. You know, His Word is so important in the time and age in which we live. And it was said that I don't know if I can enlarge it any bigger. There you go. Y'all can see. There's some hidden stuff in His Word if we really want to look. Now, you never heard about my maybe little cherry tree story, for those of you who never heard. We bought a couple cherry trees this year. And it was in March that we planted it. And just the other day I was at work and my wife texted me and said, "Babe, look at this." I thought she was playing a joke. And there was a cherry on the tree. I wasn't expecting it. We seen little flowers come out. And it reminded me, as I was studying the past couple weeks, because this has been a couple weeks I've been sitting on this. But the cherry, that just came into play because something was said last week about Yah's Word. We really got to dive in deep in His Word and really scrutinize, get down in there. So I took time to go back and look in 45 and just kind of dissect some Word. But I want to show you, his Word reminded me of this cherry tree. I was looking because all you see right there is this one cherry. And I know when we open our Bibles, you know, it's like looking at you see the cherries in there. But do you really see Him? Do we really spend time in His Word to really notice what's down in there? So all you see is one cherry. But my wife sent me a photo. She said, "Look at that. That's another cherry." I said, "Oh, wow. I said, we got two cherries growing." I said, "Ain't that in His Word? It reminds you of His Word. When you dig in there, you find these little nuggets in His Word." And this is what was said last week in His Word. So I said, "Well, I'm going to use that." That came into my mind. I said, "I'm going to use that in the Word and see if I can just tie it in there." Because some of the stuff in the Word, the slightest little word that we look in the Word, because it's in English, we don't really pay attention to it. We see it. We know what it is in the English form. But I'm talking about in the Hebrew language, His language. Do we really spend the time to really dig in there and looking down into His language? So as I was digging through that, I come across two cherries. Because all I could see was just the one red, and all of a sudden you see the one nice green one, but as I was moving the leaves, one of them fell off, so I apologize. But that's what it looked like. So we actually had three cherries. Now she told me today that that's the tree in the back. The one in the front, by she told me there's a cherry on there. I said, "Really?" So we got another cherry growing on the tree. So like I said, in His Word, It's just amazing how we can just sit there and look in His Word. And if we want to look for the cherries, we can find them. Not go cherry picking, you know, and build us a doctrine, but let it set where it's set. But let's look at each word. That's what the Hebrew, look, we taught to slow down, look into His Word, and just take it apart little bit by little bit. And there's going to be some great things that stick out in here. I think it's going to help us out because some of the smallest words, like I said, we wouldn't bother to even look into it. So let's see what His Word says. So back to Genesis 45, because this is where we've been at. Great story. I mean, especially for this time of the year in which we're in our feast times. And I know you know right now we should be working on ourselves, on our humbling ourselves, coming before Him. Because we see Joseph's brothers, when they prostrated before him, let me tell you something, this scene right here is very important because Yosef is about to explode because he's telling them so bad that I'm your brother, and they don't even know, and they're in fear for their life. So this scene is, so you got to picture this in your mind. This was, let me not get ahead of myself. I told my wife, she said, "What you going to say?" I said, "I got a few things to say. I just got to learn to talk a little bit slower." So here we go, Genesis 45, and we're going to go from verse 1, even though I know we had it. But it's still just a little something to, let me just read through it, but I'm going to get to the one where I got to get to in verse 3. And Joseph was unable to restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he called out, "Have everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. Let me tell you how deep this pain was. This is what I want to show here in the Word. And all the Mishrite in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers weren't able to answer him, for they trembled before him. Now we covered his trembling already, pretty extensive. And now you know that you never run out. But I want to look at the word "I." See, it's the smallest little detail. That word, we all know what "I" is in English. But if we ever just stop to look at it in the Hebrew, just to see what it would mean, where it points to, what road it takes you. It's H589. Is Ani. It means the one. I'm the one, the single person that it points to. And you know, we have one that is a single person that we have to, our focus, attention goes to. And it means guide. When you look in the ancient Hebrew, it's guide and rest. It's the first person singular, usually used for emphasis. Contracted from H595, Enohi is the first person singular, God rests. So this rest, you think our master knows? And when I was diving into the definition, let me read it to you. It says that there is the noon and the het. And you combine these means continue outside. Now, that sounds like we're contradicting from last week, because last week we were told we got to be inside. Now, how does this fit? Well, in order for you to endure outside, we have to come and sit and rest like we was taught. We have to be inside before we can go outside. That was mentioned. But I didn't know I was going this area, because I had this prior to all this teaching we had last week. But we have to, not only inside, when we're here tonight, because we're commanded to be here. That's why I told one of the guys today, I'm commanded to take these days off. Can I have it off? I'm commanded. I got to be here. So I want to be inside to learn from when I go out there. Let me tell you, the fight's out there. The fight's not in here. So this, I thought this was so good, because I have to trust in the one. And there's only one I could put my hope and my trust in, and that's Yehovah that I look to, because that's where our help, our strength comes from him. And of course, he has someone that he placed in order, and that's his son. And no one can take that place. And I tell you, so we have to turn our focus, our trust, and he wants to do what? Give us rest. He guides us. It's going to go on to say, let me read it. The shepherd would guide his flock to a place of water. Here is water for drinking as well as green grass for pasturing. Now your mind automatically knows the verse when we read that. Once the flock arrive, they are free to rest after the long journey. A guide journey to a place of rest, a sigh of rest, E-N-G, night, from the German Nöch, at the time of rest. Now, what is German Nöch? So sometimes we got to slow down, because some of these, just these little things that, you know, that Yah puts in our path, he wants us to take note of that. So what I can find on this Nöch, it's to be revealed, nothing or naught, because when you go to Psalms 23, this is where it talks about that you not lack. You don't want for nothing. Or it means still or yet. So we learn in German. Now we know another language. German notes. Now we know a little something about German. So I thought that was just very little important that they put that in there, because I don't know what German notes, what that means. So I got to go look this stuff up. So I thought that was very interesting. But he talks about resting. But resting in him, he guides us to a place. You know, I even asked Syria, do sheep like to drink where it's rough? First, no. They like calm, still water. He'll die of thirst before he get out there in the rough, and when he wants something to drink, he'll die of thirst before he tries to drink. Because he has fear of drowning, or whatever else that can happen to when he comes to. So that's why our master, the one, leads you by still waters. He wants you to settle down, especially settling his word like we had from last week. You have to come in and sit down and be able to learn from him. So I thought that was, it was just very important. And I don't know, look, tonight is not one of them. Tonight is more about a little teaching, I guess, just to point some stuff out. So this rest, and when we go to the CNN, of course it gives you two N's, but it's the one right here. One is sigh, a sigh of rest. Now we know what that is, but groan, the expression of burden and a desire for rest. It's not just groan. We're not talking about in this. You got to think yourself. It's not just groaning where we go to a Chinese buffet and man, I ate so much, I can't feel my belly no more. Oh, look, they got some egg rolls. They come out. It's not that type of groan, you know. And you want to feel your belly. It's more of a, it's the deep spiritual side. So this groan is make a deep, inadequate sound in response to pain or despair. Can you imagine yourself, you know, seeing his brother right there? Because he's the one in power that can save his brother. And we have a big brother that saves us. Especially outside. Like I said, the fight's not in here. So this groan of a thing is made low, creaking, or mourning. Sound when pressure or weight is applied. Can you imagine yourself that time his brother kept coming back and forth? I'm giving you all the English word right here, groan. This is the English. Now I'm going to give you the Hebrew and the biblical in just a minute. But just the weight of him holding all his back to the right time to tell his brother, I am yielded, ani. What comforting word. But to him it was comforting because all that pressure, that weight was finally off. But his brother was what? They trembled because their mind, we're in trouble now. Biblical groan signifies a deep, inexpressible sound of suffering, sorrow, or longing. Imagine Yosef just to be back with his father, with his brothers. This is the type of groan I'm talking about. You know, it's like when we couldn't come here and gather because of COVID, and everybody, even though we were on the phone on and separated from one another, man, I miss being here in this place. Let me tell you. So we're going to see something in the Word here in a little while. I'm going to try. But let me just go. Let's go to the book of Romans. And I tell you what, I really want to read the whole chapter of chapter 8 because it's a really beautiful chapter. But for sake of time, let's start at around verse 18. Let's start about verse 18. Please go back and read the full chapter. Maybe we can talk about it, maybe for Bible study, so we can go back over it. Because it's really, it talks about how we got to overcome our flesh. Because the flesh is enmity with Elohim. It don't want no part of it. And it can't. So we have to rely on him. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the esteem that is to be revealed in us. For an intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. Hey, you know, some of my elders, they've been in this business a long time. They've been waiting to see. And how do you know this? Yehovah, Yeshua still can come in their time. But that should be our hope. You know, even not when we, I hope now, not wait till we get in their age, but I hope now that we eagerly, the creation waits for him to his returning. People have been waiting for years. Man, I tell you, so I can imagine yourself right now, finally, after all these years, 20 plus years, you understand? This is a critical time in his life. Man, seeing his brother for the first time when he recognized, but they didn't recognize him. I imagine how he was just waiting. For the creation was subject to futility, not from choice, but because of him who subjected it in anticipation. That the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage to corruption into the esteemed freedom of the children of Elohim. For we know that all creation groans together. We groan with creation. Creation's been growing since the beginning. You know, because why? All you know how much bloodshed have been shed since Abel, from the righteous blood of Abel, first bloodshed, up until now? You don't think the earth is growing? How long, Master? Trust me, he speaks to his creation. We don't hear it, but he hears his creation. And I tell you, so it really challenged me to go into this verses. To know that all creation groans together. And this word is G4959. They use groan it. It's sutanazo. And let me tell you something about that word. It takes off. It takes you down a journey, down a road. So that's something to do in your own homework. It goes to several definitions. So I just wanted to point that out. But creation groans together and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. Now, that was no pain of childbirth in the beginning, but that, because of sin, yeah, I'm sure the women still feel it today, ones that's having babies. So good how creation just groans. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. I'm going to tell you, that's a lot. Good thing we skipped some of the first verses. It would be a long night right here in Romans 8. I'm going to tell you, the time is going to be when he's going to say, my son, welcome. Well, I know we're not blood. Maybe you are in your DNA somewhere down the line. But the rest of us that's adopted, I'm thankful I'm even adopted into the family. And then once adopted, then what? We obey his rules, simply. What can you give the king praise when we sing that song for the feast? What can you give? Well, nothing else for the king. It's your obedience. What else can you give him but your loyalty? I wouldn't know what else to give him. The redemption of our body, because we know this body is going to corrupt. This body is going to fall apart. I know we're trying to save it. We got Botox and we got all these things, lift the skin, whatever I don't know all the names for them, but let me tell you, man and women can try to do what they want. They don't possess immortality. Outside of the one, outside of the I am, we don't have immortality. So look, we do our best with what we got. We're putting our pretty shoes and makeup, and we obey what he says. Everything else, look, it's going to come together. You're going to have a new body one day. For in this expectation, we are saved. But expectation that is seen is not expectation. For when anyone sees, does he expect it? Great question. And if we expect what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. And right now, we're in the waiting time. We're in the waiting period. Yom Teruah is past. But in the time of Yom Teruah, he returned. Look, that during this waiting period, these 10 days of all, we should be doing something. We should be prostrating ourselves, find a moment to humble ourselves and work on me. You work on you, I'll work on me. Eagerly wait with it for endurance. And in the same way, the Spirit does help in our weaknesses. For if we do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case for us with groanings unutterable. Imagine Yosef. I mean, just, you wonder why he wept aloud? Because of this, because of that, the Spirit in him, you know, praying for his brother all these years and finally coming to see him for the first time. What a weeping moment in his life. What a time in his life that I can't explain how he felt. But all I know is just, when our time comes, when we're going to see our master, if he was that excited for his brother, what about our Savior, our Master? You know, they sing that song, I Can Only Imagine. He said, I don't have, a word can't speak at all. You know, the time that, you know, cause trust me, he sees the time you spend on your knees and reading, spending time with him. He sees you when you're witnessing on the boat and in the yard or around the farm, whatever you're doing, whatever your job, whatever your profession, he sees all this. It's nothing no good deed. He's going to, you know, not go unpunished or not have it recorded. Because we know everything is recorded. Our life is recorded. Can you imagine that day when his return, when his true return? Look, just when they were talking about this rapture and all this coming around, people were selling their cars. People were standing outside. People were giving away their furniture. One lady, she left notes in her house in case there was a house behind her. Somebody coming in, she left a survival kit. I'm telling you, the world was, it was something, boy. Well, we know what the scripture says. So I'm going to pay attention to his words. groanings unutterable. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the set apart ones according to Elohim. And we know that all matters work together for good to those who love Elohim, to those who are called according to his purpose. I mean, you know, you have a job. You think because you're not the speaker or wherever you are, look, you're your own shofar wherever you go. You let out a teruah every time you go outside. Because like I said, that's where he needs you at. He needs a voice. He needs men and women to stand up in these last times, in these troublesome times. Not a time to be in fear or panic. It's a time to rise and stand up. Because why? A lot of our loved ones are not here. I know just in my part. So it's up to you and I. Because those whom he knew beforehand, he ordained beforehand to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers, and whom he ordained beforehand, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also declared right. And whom he declared right, these he also esteemed. So look, you're not forgotten. Because, look, I don't go around with a title professing to be somebody. I'm just a mouthpiece. When I get opportunity, I just want to be a mouthpiece. I don't need a title. I just want to, because I follow someone. And that's what, and he ordains, he equips you. He don't let you go out there without nothing. He gives you the tools you need. He'll bring it to your remembrance if we just ask. So this Romans 8, let me tell you, this is the shortcut on it. But I'm going to get back to, hold on before I go. That's one word I wanted to point out. On this, let me see, it was G4559. I went too fast. I passed over it so fast. Boy, I tell you, this groaning, let me make sure I got the right one. Well, that's one G4726. It's stenagmos, but that's not it. There was another one in there. I'm telling you, there's so many in there that we can look at it. Huh? Yeah, that's it. So let me tell you, there's a lot of definitions in that one, in these groanings, that, let me tell you, you need the Spirit to utter them for you. That's about the best I can tell you. Oh, man. Okay. This groaning, this I am, not groaning, I am, back in Genesis 45, it also gave you a number, because like I said, I did a little diving down there, H585, it's sighing, groan, mourning, and a car. It's sign physical distress. So he said, this Joseph, in this point in time of his life, there was a lot of pressure that was on him. And that's the point that I'm really trying to break out. It also had another one in there, H584. It simply means groan. It was and a gnat. To sigh, groan, mourn, sign, in pain or grief, gasp, or like the moaning of a cattle. Just the other day, I thought it was interesting when this definition came in here, because me and my wife was on the levee, and this cow was just growing bad. And the last time we saw one home like that, it was searching for her young. So we saw it was swimming up and down the ditch. We thought it was stuck. But when it got out, it helped her young that was stuck. And just the other day, it happened again, and we heard that moaning, so we knew what it was. So this, you understand what Yosef's going through right here? It's like these were his children, even though they're brothers. He was really passionate, you know, about his brothers. In Psalms 23, and I do have a few scriptures tonight also. It says in verse 1, it says, Yehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. Oh, I don't want. He says, he make me to lie down in green pastures. What was the definition just a minute ago? The shepherd leads you, that leads you in these green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It has to be still water. Menuka. It's the place of rest. Resting place. Rest quietness. It's to guide and rest. See this? Continue outside. Like I say, we don't have to make up the story. It's already there for us. We've got to just take our time and go through the definitions and look at each one and just really spend time with it. He leads, verse 2 that leads, it's H5148, Menka. I know it did. Well, I'm sorry. 5095, Nahal. I'm sorry. It's to leave, give rest. Yeah. And pasture. Combine these when you look at the ancient Hebrew. Just continue with the staff. If we allow him to lead us, you can't go wrong if he's leading you. He won't lead you. He said, even though he's leading the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not my righteousness, his righteousness. I'm telling you, so when he's leading, we just got to follow him. We don't have to try to run ahead of him, try to beat him, be the first to get to the water. We're all going to get there together. So this shepherd that's leading us is so awesome. I don't know what can we say about him? All what he's done for us, giving us his own life that we can have life today. Because he's the one. And it went to, when you look it down, it went to 5148. And it was also God and rest. You know, when you look into the ancient Hebrew letters. So this is what was great, you know, going through this. But in back, I want to look at something about what I mentioned about his righteousness. This is where, you know, it might start off a little shaky, but I'm going to show you something here in just a minute. Because I said it's not about our righteousness that it's going to, will we save in the end. We need his right. We need to put on his robe of right, his way of thinking when he's doing the leading. Where he steps, I want to step. Where he brings me to drink, I want to drink. So I wrote down it just for myself. The question is, whose righteousness? So what does my righteousness look like versus compared to his? Or, you know, because that when it go back to that Romans 8, because this is where I was pulling it from during the beginning about being the flesh and versus the spirit. So we know that if we walk in the flesh, he said, you're going to die. So I have to walk in his footsteps. I have to walk in his righteousness, his teaching, what the things he say. And I have to be, repeat what he says. Because why? Peter said, because a little later on, he says, well, Master, where are you going to go? He said, these words are hard. He said, where are you going to go? He said, you have the words of eternal life. What powerful words Peter spoke right there. Where else are we going to go? So I want to show you something. Let's look at his righteousness. Just a couple of verses. Psalms 145 and verse 17. Yehovah is righteous in all his ways, and loving commitment in all his works. In all his ways, he's righteous. You might see some. He allows things to happen in life. That's not because he's unrighteous. The scriptures say he's righteous in all his ways. In Matthew 6:33, you don't have to turn there. But he says, "And seek first the kingdom and his righteousness." And all these other things shall be added. That's what our master says. Our master said these things. But what I want to look at now is our righteousness. What does your righteousness look like toward him? Because remember, we're coming into the days of all where we got to humble before him. How is he going to see us? What are we bringing to the table? Because he's going to be the one there that we have to prostrate ourselves before. So in Isaiah, I'm telling you, when I was rehearsing all this, it sounded so much better. In Isaiah 64, just when you get here, just the pressure is always on. Because you want to speak right about him. I tell you, when you're on the bull and you're saying, oh, I'm talking to the dog at the house, you don't feel it as bad. But when you get here, all eyes are on you. So I apologize if it's not lining up like I'm trying to say it, because trust me. You want us to block? Y'all is good, let me tell you. Let me get it. Isaiah 64, verse 1. We're going to look at something right here. Oh, that you would tear the heavens open. Come down, that mountains shall shake before you. Anybody want to guess what that come down is right there? We just learned that. I had no idea that Pastor was going to talk about this. This 33 is coming in Isaiah 64, verse 1. I had no idea this 33:81 was in my notes 2 weeks ago prior to last week's teaching. This come down is Yarad. When I got to that, when he passed about that message, I'm looking at my eyes. I said, I got that in my notes. That goes to show me that, you know, man, we're on the right track. That was confirmation to me. You know how uplifting that was to see this word come up in my notes. And there's something that's, you know, like I said, that was already prior. So we learned about this. This Yarad is what? Come down. What? Spread the sheet. Come in. Be the inside man. Prepare to go outside. Man, that was so beautiful last week. And here it is right here on the very first verse of Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would tear the heavens open. Come down, that mountains shall shake before you. As when fire burns twigs, as fire makes water boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so the nations tremble before you. Now tremble, we in English, it's just one word. But in the Hebrew, let me tell you, there's several words. I'm just going to give them to you, and then you can go check them out for your own. It's H7264. It says, when you did, verse 3, when you did awesome matters, which we did not expect, you came down, mountains did shake before you. Now, there's come down again. There's a Yarad again. But do we have that when Yah comes down? Don't you think the earth is going to tremble when he comes? We had a pattern already when Moshe at Mount Sinai. It said that the whole mountain, it vibrated so bad it was lifting off the ground. Can you imagine? When he comes, is the world going to tremble? That's what the scripture says. Whoa, so what is that? You think Isaiah is on to something here? Since the beginning of the ages, they have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any Elohim beside you who acts for those who wait for him. And you know, we're in the waiting period. But we have to do something while we're waiting. We have to stay active. You shall meet him who rejoices and does righteousness and righteousness. Who remembers you in your ways. See, you were wroth when we sinned in them a long time, and should we be saved? Let me tell you something. When we were out there doing our own thing, he wasn't happy with us. So you think my righteousness, I deserve a second chance? I'm so thankful for this place here. We're going to see something in the Word here. I'm so thankful to pray because it had this place, its position wasn't there. If he'd have moved, my chance of being here would probably be that much. That goes to show me this verse right here. And should we be saved? I'm so glad he loves you and I. You know, he gives us second chance, third chances, fourth chances, huh? Whatever number you're on. I mean, oh, you're like a cat. You're like nine lives. I don't know. But I don't want to play with what he's given me, especially if he gives me a second chance. I don't want to blow it. I've blown it already. I know what it's like out there. I've been there. But there's nothing to go back. That's only death. That's where the road leads. That's the way that seems right. And it looks good. But the end is death. Scripture warns us. One thing I notice, The scripture is full of warnings. Our master preached warning. Jehovah preached warning. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach warning. Because when I go on my Facebook page or whatever you go on, all you see is all this inspiration. I'm all for inspiration, but that's not what all Jehovah is about. The inspiration will run out if we're not obedient to what he teaches, what he says. We have to be obedient. If not, inspiration is going to go out the window, then you feel the wrath. And you think the earth is going to tremble? You think the earth is not going to tremble when he turned all his bloodshed that was shed? And should we be saved? Now, this is the verse we heard all our life. This is the one I want to get to. Because we always heard, our righteousness is filthy rags. So we're going to look at, let's look at that. How filthy is that rag? How dirty you and I were. How dirty I was. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to talk about me, how dirty I was. And all of us has become one unclean. And all our righteousness are as soiled rags. And all of us fade like a leaf. And our crookednesses, like the wind, have taken us away. Let's look at these soiled rags, filthy rags in the English. It's pronounced, I think it's I did. When you go to the little strong, you punch in your man. Your rag is... Filthy rag is menstruation. Now, I ain't got to really pull the strongs on that. Because we know what that is. And look, they make products for, you know, thank goodness for ladies. But this is what the word teaches. This is how dirty, unclean you were. And when the time of the day, knee die. In the Hebrew language. What we would learn. It's unclean. That's why Rachel, as she lied about, oh daddy, I'm on the way of women. I can't get up because she stole the idols. This will take you down back to that story. That's what's so beautiful about his word. He brings you right back. To repeat witness. I don't want to repeat. I definitely want to repeat the lifestyle where I used to live. And I was no good witness. I mean, we have to see the door. When you combine these, the iron and the dollet, we have to see the door. I'm so glad that the door opened for me at one time in my life. That might have been my only shot that day I was here on a funeral. That might have been my only chance, opportunity. And let me tell you, I heard something. The door opened right there for me. And from there, it's never been the same. So has it been painful? It's been rough. I'm so glad, look, he had me in the right spot. He knew what he was doing. Because why? I was in the bore. I was down in the pit. I couldn't get out. And maybe some of you can relate to that time in your life. Well, you couldn't get out. We needed a Savior. We needed that I am yourself in our life. A place and time or event that is repeated again and again. When we turn from him, you go back to the scripture said that the pig, I don't care how much you wash and you put lipstick on, he's a pig, he's going to return back. Or the dog returns back to the vomit. I don't want to be that. That's not who we are anymore. We have to be changed. We have to look like we belong to him. Look like him. Say what he says. Like what he likes. Hate what he hates. And that should be our message. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to be straightened, Hazak, in you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our crookednesses. That's the condition we were in. He hid his face from us. Man, somewhere he turned his face back toward you though and opened that door and give you a second chance of whatever chance, like I said, whatever number you're on, it don't matter to me. No matter that you're here. And that he loves, he wants you. He wants each and every one of us. But the word doesn't change. It doesn't change for me. It don't change for you. It's going to say what it says, and we got to be okay with it. And we got to. And sometimes we got to be able to say the hard stuff. And trust me, I don't want to talk about menstruation, but that's what filth. That's what your filthy rag. What we look like. And now, can you imagine yourself, brother? That's why he put them through the test they did. Because the last time when they threw me, they were like filthy rags. You know, he could have treated him hard. He could have went out. He could have punished, but he'd have been out of character. And then he couldn't have been our example. He couldn't have been the foreshadow for Messiah. So he had to learn through his suffering, just like our master. What a great model. Mm-hmm. And now, O Yehovah, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And we are the work of your hand. Amen. Look, sometimes, look, we're not going to be perfect, look perfect. And sometimes we're going to, you may stumble a little bit, but look, you may get a little dirt on you, but you get up. We don't say, well, I quit. No, I mean, God, he ain't raising a bunch of quitters. No, we don't get the right to quit. Because you belong to him now. Because why? He makes us and mold in a way. That's why we look different. Can you imagine you all look like me? We call this place Scotland. Oh boy, we are the work of your hand. Do not be wroth, O Yehovah, nor remember crookedness forever. Please look, all of us, we all of us are your people. That's how we should become humble before him. When this time of affliction is coming upon, when Yom Kippur is coming, we have to be humble. We're your people. Don't hold our sin against us. That's what Yosef's brother's going to be crying here a little while ago. In the next couple of chapters, when the dad is going to die, when Yaakov's going to die, the first thing his brother going to say, hey, tell him, dad said, don't be mad at us. We're going to see the story. That's where they get that from. Don't look at us. And what Yosef does, he loves them. Despite all, he put all that behind him. What a great model. Do not be wroth, O Yehovah, nor remember crookedness forever. See, please look, all of us are your people. Your set apart cities have become waste, have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness. Jerusalem in a waste. Is it terrible right in Jerusalem? One of the pictures came up last night, me and the wife was in the news, down in Gaza. It was just black, total devastation. He ain't pleased with that. I will set apart comely house. Now I thought about this place. Where our fathers praise you has been burned up with fire, and all that we treasured had become a ruin. Can you imagine? I can't imagine not to come back to this place anymore. But who knows the time is coming? That's why we got to get it out now. But who knows the time when the fight comes here and it put a lock on the doors? You know, say, look, y'all, Sabbath keepers can't worship you today here anymore. What do we do? So I think about this verse here. It speaks a lot of volume. In all of this, in view of all this, would you restrain yourself, O Yehovah? Would you keep silent and afflict us beyond measure? Okay, I want to do right by him. And I want him to know that. I want him to see me when I'm, you know, not just when I'm humble. In my everyday affairs, to lead me and guide me, as the shepherd said in the definition. I want to be led by him. So I thought this Isaiah 64 was a real beautiful read, you know, comparing to where we're at. In Devarim 32. Let's look at some more of this I. Verse 39. He says, see now, I. Look at that. H589. I am he, and there is no Elohim besides me. I put to death. I make alive. I have wounded, and I heal. And from my hand, no one delivers. We need him. See that? See all these inspiration? You know, you think Yah is all good and lovey-dovey. He's not. Look, there's a side to him that's serious. And we really want to stay on the inspiration side, on the good side. Remember, the curses on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. What side are we on? It says, for I lift up my hand to the heavens, and shall say, as I live forever, I have sharpened my flashing sword, and my hand takes hold on judgment. I shall return vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. He said, people today, I don't hate. When you're not in line with him, he calls it hate. We have to align ourselves with him. We have to love what he loves and hate what he hates, and that's the bottom line. Oh, and look, we want to love it. We want he's not willing anyone to perish. We're clear on that. And I'm not, how am I supposed to feel? I'm not willing either. But I'm going to tell you, it's the fact that people are going to perish. And we're going to see why. I make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword devours flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired enemy chiefs, old nations acclaim his people, for he avenges the blood of his servants and returns vengeance to his adversaries and shall pardon his land, his people. It's not up to you and I to take vengeance. The scripture is clear on that. I have a couple of verses I'm going to read in just a moment. Then Moshe came with Hoshea, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. And when Moshe ended speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, set your heart on all the words which I warn you today. Because why? Moshe was the man. He was the leader in front of these nation of people, great multitude, just like Yosef was. So that you command your children to guard to do all the words of this Torah. Let me tell you, now that's a hard pill for me to swallow when I look back at my track record. But I'm doing all I can now and should be doing better, especially when it comes to our children. For this is not a worthless word for you because it is your life. And by this word you prolong your days on the soil which you are passing over the Jordan to possess. Moshe's farewell address. I'm telling you, we have to guard his word. We have to hold fast to what he says. Because why? It's life. And like I said, that's what Peter said. Your words are life, Master. And it's the same life here. That life is what? When you do all the from the G222 Dizeo, I think it is, and when you trace it back to the Hebrew language, you know what? It leads you to Hayah. Where the life's at, our life source. It's all in him. And let me give you a couple of vengeance scriptures. In Romans 12:19, because it's not up to you and I. We have to be obedient. In Romans 12, verse 19, it says, beloved, do not revenge yourselves, for give place to the wrath. For it has been written, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says Jehovah. I'm going to tell you, he's watching everything. You don't think all the conspiracy now about Charlie Kirk, whoever shot him, y'all knows. They put the man on the roof, not a conspiracy, it's somebody from the side or whatever. Y'all knows, I can tell you. In Hebrews 10:30. For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine. For we know him. We have to know him. I shall repay, says Jehovah. And again, Jehovah shall judge his people. So that's just a couple of verses just to show you that he's in charge. He is the one that we look to. So back to Genesis 45. And I know I probably missed something on that word "ani" right here. But we're going to keep moving forward. Let's go to verse 4. And Joseph said to his brother, please come near me. And when they came near him, he said, I am Yosef, ani. Yosef. Your brother, whom you sold into Mitzrayim. And now do not be grieved or displeased with yourself because you sold me here, for Elohim sent me before you to preserve life. What a powerful statement right there. That preserve life. It's age 42, 41. Mikyah. Trust me. And it goes, it comes from, let me get to it so I can pull it up here. This Mikyah from 24, 21. Hayah. Just to show you that it all connects to the one, to our life source. Where everything that, so you want to know why creation grown? Because it goes back to the one who gave life to it. It brought me to a story. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to skip that part, and I'm going to go a little further down because of time's sake. But there's a story in 1 Samuel in chapter 14. And I do have a couple pictures on it. It's when Jonathan and his armor bearer went up to the Philistines. And these are the two names that were mentioned, Bozet and Senet. It's the two rocks where you see Jonathan was on one side and the Philistines were on the other. And they crossed over, him and his armor bearer, and they slew 20 men in half an acre. And the people, because of Saul, because when you get further down, Saul makes this rash vow. And that's just a little picture geographic. He makes this vow that you tell the men, nobody eats today. Because they were mad, because they don't know who went up there and did all that. And just, you got to go read through the story. And so when Jonathan and his army comes into the wilderness, they have some honey dripping on the ground. The scripture said he took his rod and he tasted some of the honey, he was revived. And he tells that to the men to the story. And of course, his own daddy is after against his own son because he made this rash vow. But the people stood up for Jonathan and said, this ain't going to happen. Because why? Because the men, they go out to battle and you read the story, they're all famished. They're all weak because there's no life in them. But this word goes to live in the stomach. Because when the stomach is famished, you're weak. You know, after all, look, you go all day without eating. When you come home, you're groaning. Your feet hurt. You're in that clock in that recliner. Oh, I just want to get off my feet. Let me tell you, this is what all ties into. That's me. So he comes there to preserve life. And he wants to preserve life for all humans, for whosoever will. And we can go to the John 3:16, because that's where it points to. Whosoever will. You know, it was everlasting, this everlasting life. I tell you, it's beautiful. Everybody wants us to. But I want to read John. I'm going to skip that story. You can go back and read that for yourself. It's 1 Samuel 14, 24 through 32. Actually, read the whole chapter. Then you'll get the full scope of it. But in John 6, starting at verse 60, and this is, he just fed the 5,000, and he's talking about how he's the bread of life, and you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and there, boy, they're not understanding the words of the Master. They're really thinking fleshly. You got to get out the fleshly mind. You got to think this on the Spirit, how we feed. We have to let the Spirit feed us and teach us in this word, like looking for the cherries in the tree. He says in verse 60, therefore, many of his taught ones, having heard, said, this word is hard. Who is able to hear it? But Yeshua, knowing within himself that his taught ones were grumbling about this, said to them, does this make you stumble? What if you see the son of Adam going up where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. And that's in the world today. His words to us are spirit and life. And there's still somebody that don't believe. Christian people. Because they believe more, rely on more of man's traditions. More of man's theology. Why don't you just follow, pay attention to the words of the Master. We heard that last week. Pay attention to his word. We would have known what season we're in. We would have known what's coming. we pay attention to his words, for Yeshua knew from the beginning though who they were who did not believe and who would deliver him up. And he said this, and he said, because of this, I have said to you that no one is able to come to me unless it has been given to him by my Father. Man, we can learn a lot from that. From then on, many of his taught ones withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So he had more than 12 followers. He had a crowd of people. But when he starts talking about certain things, it gets too hard. They tend to fall away. Well, the scripture says that that's going to happen in the last days. It says that, you know, many are going to fall away. Their love for him will wax cold because of pressure and fear. Like I said, it's the time to rise up. And he said, because of this, I said to you that no one... Okay, I've written that one. Verse 66. And from then on, many of his taught ones withdrew and would not walk with him anymore. Yeshua therefore said to the 12, Do you also wish to go away? And Simon Kepha answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? And that's a question we should ask. Where are you going to go? Outside of him, outside of the one, where are you going to go? He just explained us in Isaiah, how he gives us another chance. He opens the door. We have to see the door. And what do? We just, because you know, once the door is shut, no man can open it. We know that for a fact. It happened in history. Once he shut the door, so we have to see the door and we have to, what, go through it. We learned that way back in Passover. We have to see the door. He said, to whom shall we go? You possess the words of everlasting life. And we have believed, and we know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Yeshua answered them, Have I not chosen you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He was now speaking of Yehuda from Corinth, the son of Shimon, for he, one of the 12, was about to deliver him up. What a time in Yeshua's life. I mean, can you imagine just knowing that? The one that you've been training, the one that you've been leading besides still water, the one you've been feeding, is the one that's going to turn against you. This life, I told you, it's everlasting. The Zoe, that was it. Zoe. It goes to, from the Greek, you can go to the Hebrew, it connects to 24:21, which was Hayah. And life in the Hebrew is Mikya, H42:41. Genesis 45:6. For 2 years now, the scarcity of food has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there is neither plowing nor harvesting. Now, I notice it's not a connection, but maybe it could be. I didn't really dig a whole lot of it, but I think about Revelation 13, when it talks about in it, when it's going to get so bad, there won't be no buying or selling unless you have the mark. My mark is his sign, his Sabbath. I want to hold on to. That's the mark I'm holding on to, because that's he said. If you guard my Sabbath, if you keep them, what he says in Ezekiel, he said, because this is your life. So I want to hold on to his word. We have to remember his words. So this plowing and sowing, that you have to look, because it's going to get bad. He's letting his brothers know right here. There's still 5 more years of famine coming. Who's to say we're not in the tribulation time now? I mean, I don't know. We're watching the horses gallop. We're seeing where and all what's going on around the world. But look, troublesome time is right around the corner. This could be our pleasant time. Time to get the word in here so we can get it out to be that outside man that he wants us to be. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth, and to give life to you by a great escape. Now, that's what I've been trying to get pretty quick before time ran out on me. This remnant is posterity. I don't know if I said it right. I wouldn't know what it was. Posterity, yeah. It's H7611. You could just leave it at remnant. But putting that word in there, I wouldn't know what that is. So I had to look it up. Posterity refers to a future generation of people. That's you and I. That's our children. And however long this age will go, But just to show that we're a part of that. I believe that. And it's the tie and the cord. It's press the beginning. When you combine the sheen and the resh, it means press the beginning. We have to be tie ourselves. We can know that a threefold cord, the scripture tells us, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And it talks about this cord weaving in and out. It's talking about braiding. Let me tell you, when a rope is braided together, it's strong. So we do it a lot. One guy was doing it today for the boat, and he was learning, you know, how to do it. But anyway, this tie and this cord, this D and N4. Let me just look at it right quick. The D is to remain or relative. When a nomadic tribe was larger than could be maintained, the family divided its sense of severing the umbilical cord. Now you're trying to say, well, where is that? How does that go into the scripture? Where is that? Well, let's look at the other one first. As a remnant, what is left behind, a near relative of another tribe. So we see this umbilical cord, what it's talking about right here, that how we learn this, how we're connected to the one. We have to stay connected. But there comes a time, that umbilical cord, once we grow, once we're off the milk, we get into the meat of the world, that umbilical cord is cut for you and I. But that doesn't mean we cut away from him. We stay connected to the master because we have to learn how to walk. He has to teach us. And how is he going to teach us unless we come be inside? If that makes any sense to anybody. So this you want to see what he's talking about, a nomadic tribe? I don't know if let me see. I got time to get to right quick. It's in Genesis. Let me give you a quick story. I'm going to give you a quick rundown. Genesis 13. Abraham and Lot separate. Why? Because their flocks and their herds is so thick. Because Lot's got family and animals, and Abraham's got servants. Lot's got the same thing. So in verse 8 it says, and Abraham said to Lot, Avram said to Lot, let there be no strife between you and me and between my husband and your husband, for we are brothers. And that's how we are in here. We're brothers and sisters. Let there be no strife. Is not all the land before you? Please separate from me. Because that's where that umbilical cord right here is cut right here. You got to cut loose from Lot because they're what they have, all their possession. But instead of Lot going right or left, he lifted his eyes. Is not the land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plain of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. Before Jehovah destroyed Sidon and Amorah, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Mizraim, as you go toward Zoar. So this is where it makes that connection, that definition for you. When the nomadic tribe travels, sometimes you got to cut the cord. So we see Abraham cutting here from Lot. So I thought that was a little interesting, a little nugget, we like to call. So back to this this remnant. This remnant is this postery, age 76-11, remainder, residual, surviving final portion that had escaped, be left, posterity, remainder, residue, the tie and the cord. The word, I didn't give y'all the word, huh? My bad, I'm sorry. I went straight to the definition. I overlooked the word. Sherith. I'm sorry. We heard this word last week for the first time. Pastor mentioned it. So like I said, I had this already written down. It's just letting you know that it's the remainder, residue surviving at the portion. Oh, my God. I wanted to explain that. We're the survivors. We're the ones. We're the family to praying for our children, for our loved ones. You're the remainder here. That's what I'm trying to say. You're the body. You're the church that is to be the light for someone. You know, you can't expect them to learn it on their own. We have to learn. We have to be able to be disciplined enough to sit and learn so we can be outside. That's what I was trying to say. I hope y'all got that. In Isaiah 6, this is a short one. Isaiah 6 and 13. You really got to go read the whole chapter, but I'm going to cherry pick this verse right here. But still, there is a tenth part in it, and it shall again be for a burning, like a timbered tree, and like an oak whose stump remains when it's cut down. The set apart seed is the stumps. Because this passage, let me tell you, it's a pretty rough passage. How the condition of the earth. Then it just goes on. Isaiah's commission, and who's going to go out and he's going to speak to the people. He commit, because the earth is what? Corrupted. So it's up to you and I. We got to go out to bring the word. We got to come here to get it. Remember, the fruit is not for you and I. It's for them out there. Who stump, who sees with me, because why? Yehovah has a remnant. And you're going to see why I said that, because in Romans 9, let me give you another scripture. In Romans 9, 27, Isaiah cries out on the behalf of Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant shall be saved. That's you and I. Because he wants to what? Preserve life. Our master was here, came here to preserve life for a remnant who's going to follow him, who's going to say what he's going to say, who's going to stand and who's going to hold the line. Because remember, we're commissioned. We have a job. Is he to come here to get it and be able to go out there to share it? Let's see, do I have another verse on that? Well, there's one, but it's a long one. I don't know if I have time to read it for you. It's back in Isaiah. I know I took you out of there. I should have kept you right there while I had you there. In Isaiah 24. It says in verse 1, see, Yehovah is making the earth empty and making it waste, and shall overturn its surface and shall scatter abroad its inhabitants. The earth is going to be judged, let me tell you. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the female servant, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. He's covering all. No one escapes. It says, the earth is completely emptied and utterly plundered, for Yehovah has spoken this word. The earth shall mourn and wither. The world shall languish and wither. The haughty people of the earth shall languish, for the earth has been defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the Torah, changed the law, broken the everlasting covenant. I'm telling you, this is a serious time that we're about to enter in, and as this world comes crashing down to the end before Messiah gets here. I'm going to tell you, this world's in trouble. We're going to need our Savior. And had he not shortened the days, remember we heard it last week, this message just rings from last week. Had he not shortened the days, if possible, he'd be very elect. This is what he's saying. Because why? Our transgressions, the things that go on in the world, that things that happen in the dark, they think that Yehovah don't see. He sees all. Therefore, a curse shall consume the earth, and those who dwell in it be punished. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth shall be burned, and few men shall be left. That few, it is H 42:13, Mizar. It's just that remnant. That look, are we the few? Are we claiming? Because why? The road is split. There's a way that seems to, one goes to life, one goes to destruction. Are we on that fume? Straight and narrow path. Because the master says that narrow is the way and few be that find it. And I believe we're on that path. I believe Yahweh is on the right path because why? We're saying what he's saying. We're standing for the truth of what he says. And that's been my message when I've been outside. I've been saying what he says, not what Scott says. I've been saying, I repeat his word. And when I can't repeat it, I say, look, let me show you. Because it's more than just me saying it. I have to show it to you. Because why? It had to be shown to me. I had to be led by the still waters. And there's just a few that's left. That's what he's saying. That's just a remnant, a tenth part. I just read in Isaiah, just a tenth. Why the tenth? Why? Because of the hand of Yod. You know, because his hand is still on it. So it's just, man, it goes through a lot of tie-ins, let me tell you. It says, the new wine shall fail. The vine shall languish. All those glad at heart shall sigh. The joy of the tambourine shall cease. The noise of those who rejoice shall end. The joy of the lyre shall cease. No more do they drink wine with a song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The deserted city shall be broken down. Every house shall be shut. No one enters. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy shall be darkened. The gladness of the earth shall be gone. The city is left in ruins, and the gate is stricken with death, the destruction. For thus it is to be in the midst of the earth among the people, like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the grape harvest is done. They lift up their voice. They sing of the excellency of Yehovah. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Let me tell you, when these things don't happen, you better believe there's going to be a lot of wailing and weeping. And everything that's been what's been said here is going to be, John's going to bring it to our remembrance, to their remembrance, because like he did it for Yosef. Therefore, praise Jehovah in the east, the name of Jehovah Elohim of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we shall hear song, splendor to the righteous one. How many know that the righteous one? He's coming. His name is Yeshua. But I say, I waste away. I waste away. Woe to me. The treacherous betray. The treacherous betray. Try to say that three times fast. Fear and the pit. Now this pit right here, because it's in English, it's just one word. But it's... One time you're going to see it's bore, and another time you're going to see it's 6354. It's pakat. It's a pit or a hole. And the word's going to explain itself what it is. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear falls into the pit. Reminds me of that story. Remember with Julio when he told us? I ain't going to tell it tonight. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit is caught in the snare. For the windows from on high shall be opened, and the foundation of the earth be shaken. The earth shall be utterly broken. The earth shall be completely shattered. The earth shall be fiercely shaken. The earth shall stagger like a drunkard. And it shall totter like a hut, and its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And in that day it shall be that Yehovah punishes on high the host of the exalted ones, and on the earth the sovereigns of the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners or gathered in the pit, that's the boar, and shall be shut up in the prison, and be punished after many days. And the moon shall blush, and the sun shall be ashamed, for Yehovah of hosts shall reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders in esteem. Let me tell you, what a time when the master going, you're going to know when he returns. There's going to be no mistaking. But what in the meantime, we should be posturing ourselves, getting ready, always be ready for his return. Looking up toward the sky. So since Yom Teruah, since I saw the last time I saw the moon, it was just that little, so before it went dark, I've been looking every day, trying just to see what I see, but it ain't out yet. It's behind the clouds or whatever it may be, but I'm looking for it. Because why? I'm anticipating his return. Just like Yosef in that store, when he sees his brother, let me tell you that, heaviness, finally, I need Yosef. And so I'm out of time. I had to give y'all the 1 hour version. I really could have. I told my wife. I think I told Brother Rob today when I talked to him. I said I can literally sit down. I can sit down with some coffee. This is 2 days what I got here, but I gave it to you in one evening.